Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Skin of Color Savvy, the art and science of treating patients of color. This is the official podcast of the Skin of Color Society. This is produced by HCP Live and hosted by Skin of Color Society leaders. Skin of Color Savvy delves into the latest research, clinical insights, and culturally intelligent and responsive care practices in dermatology with leading experts. I'm Dr. Netta Albuluk, and I'm this year's president, and I'm so excited today to be joined by two wonderful guests who I consider colleagues and friends and who are really change makers in dermatology. If I could have you both, Dr. Carrie Winnett and Esther Freeman, introduce yourselves and tell us a little about where you are, and then we will jump into today's topic.
Hi, I'm Carrie Wanted. I'm currently located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm delighted to serve as a current chair of GLOWderm, or the International Alliance of Global Dermatology.
Hi, I'm Esther Freeman. I'm a dermatologist in Boston, Massachusetts at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital, where I serve as the director of global health dermatology. I'm one of the co-founders of GLOWderm and immediate past chair of GLOWderm.
Thank you both so much for being on here today. This is such a treat and privilege, and I'm really excited because today's topic is one we have not delved into yet on the podcast, and it's also a space that we are so excited about in Skin of Color Society, becoming, you know, leaders with you guys and merging into this space and really making an impact. So we're going to be talking about global health dermatology and really delving into what that means, what organizations have been created around that, how to make an impact, and a lot of the amazing works that Dr. Winnett and Freeman have done. Let's go ahead and start with just global health dermatology. Could you just, Dr. Freeman, define for me sort of what that means, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. There's no one set definition, but the way that I like to think about it is it's a field that focuses on skin health and access to care, particularly in under-resourced settings around the globe. And I think one thing that's important is to understand that when we talk about global health dermatology, we don't mean international health. And what I mean by that is that we're really talking about under-resourced settings wherever they are around the globe. And it does not mean you have to cross an international border to be working in global health. It really means that you're thinking about underserved and under-resourced settings. And those settings could be right outside your hospital door, you know, for example, for me in Boston, Massachusetts.
That's an excellent point, because I think a lot of times people don't think of global health domestically, right? Especially for those of us that are in the United States. But that's a really good point that it's really everywhere. And I'd love to hear Dr. Winnett, who's the current chair of the GLOWderm organization. What is GLOWderm? And tell us a little more about that and the work you guys do.
Yeah, GLOWderm is a fantastic organization, also known as the International Alliance of Global Dermatology, whose mission really is to have skin health for everyone, everywhere. The mission around it is really to build partnerships with trainees, dermatologists, community health workers, primary care clinicians, to really sort of increase that access to dermatology care, through education, and through research. And it really is about building those partnerships and that network to help support each other as we move further in our support of global dermatology.
And it's been really fun to see how GLOWderm has grown. We started this organization now about 7 years ago. We started with just around 10 of us that were doing global health dermatology work. And we're kind of like isolated individuals. We didn't really have a community or a group. And so we founded GLOWderm with the inspiration to really kind of build community and build these educational pillars for people working in global health dermatology and in resource poor settings, again, whether they're domestic or international, regardless. And it's been so fun and such a kind of wild ride. We started, you know, really with 10 members in our steering committee, and we now are over 2,000, close to 3,000 members in over 60 different countries. So it really took off very quickly. We talk a lot about building the bus while we're driving it. So a lot of the growth of GLOWderm has been very organic, and it's been really, really fun to just see, I think, the desire and the need, and to see the incredible community that has been built really in a relatively short time, which has been, it's just been a lot of fun. And I think very inspirational. I draw a lot of inspiration from our mentees and from our members around the globe.
Absolutely incredible that you all have built this in such a short time, and that it's just grown so quickly and has been so impactful. I would love if you can explain to us too, some of our readers or our subscribers may know about ILDS, which is the International League of Dermatology Societies. How is GLOWderm connected with ILDS?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll take that just because I also serve currently as the vice chair of the International Foundation for Dermatology, which sits under the ILDS. So we talk about it in global health. There's a lot of kind of alphabet soup. So let me try to break it down for you, and because it can be really confusing. We all have the word global or international or title. So the International League of Derm Societies, also known as ILDS, you may be familiar with it because we put on the World Congress of Dermatology that happens every 4 years. It was in 2023 in Singapore, and it will be in 2027 Guadalajara, Mexico. The ILDS is this meta society of societies. So what it is the American Academy of Dermatology is a member, Skin of Color Society is a member, the Chinese Derm Society is a member, the Australasian College is a member. So it's basically not an individual membership society. It is a society of societies. So ILDS has, we're very lucky that we are, because of funding through the World Congress of Dermatology and other things, we're able to have a foundation arm, which is called the International Foundation for Dermatology. So we are kind of the foundation and humanitarian arm of the ILDS. And I'm the vice chair of that. And the chair of that is Claire Fuller. And then we're very lucky at Gloderm that we then sit within the International Foundation for Dermatology, which is the kind of foundation arm of the ILDS. So that's a lot of acronyms, but we're, I think, really lucky to sit within that organization just because it provides such an incredible resource and kind of connections to the presidents of the derm societies around the world.
That's incredibly helpful. Thank you for explaining that, because I think many people, like you said, have heard that alphabet soup and they just don't know where everything lives in the big picture. So thank you for explaining that. One of the things that I always find frustrating as a dermatologist is when a lot of our conditions are seen as more cosmetic, and we really, you know, kind of get undermined sometimes in the house of medicine with the importance of the work we do and the diseases we treat. Could you talk a little bit more about that and sort of the importance of, you know, looking at dermatology as sort of a global health issue, especially in low resource settings, and maybe how different issues of access and care and equity sort of play out in that landscape? And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think it's like such an important topic and thing to think about. I think we, as practicing dermatologists and even primary care clinicians, I think we need to understand that skin health has such a huge important part of entire health and can really be a window to what's going on in the underlying society, health of an individual, et cetera. And although I think sometimes we get a bad rap for some of the more aesthetic or cosmetic things, dermatology and skin really touches so many different things, from children to adults, from tumors to inflammatory conditions, and work along those lines. I think a lot of the work that ILDS is doing and looking at Skin Observatory and seeing the most common skin diseases that exist sort of across the world will also really help in inform how we can think about advocating for our patients with skin health across the globe, whether it is for really extensive warts that exist, if it's really extensive vitiligo and the impact it has on both morbidity, quality of life, impact of other care, to those patients with albinism who have really, really traumatic and dramatic skin tumors if they don't get the appropriate access to health, even to those patients who have things like atopic dermatitis and just the itch associated with that, how that can impact pediatric patients when they're trying to concentrate in school and move forward. And those are sort of just the non-infectious part of that. And then there's the infectious diseases that can have a really huge impact depending on the social determinants of health. If we have scabies and the impact of that with secondary impetigo and the downstream effects of post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis and a lot of the work that has been done in that space to look at that. So I think we as dermatologists recognize that and really sort of being to the forefront of that across the world, I think will be is really, really important. And I know we'll talk shortly about the new resolution that's been passed, and I'll let Dr. Freeman talk about that, because I think that really puts us at the center stage in the WHO and across the world to really advocate for our patients in this capacity.
Dr. Freeman, I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on it and the resolution.
I mean, so well said, Carrie. I think that was so important for us as dermatologists and as a dermatology community to show up and show up in that spaces where people aren't necessarily expecting us. So we've done a lot of work with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, where we're often, you know, really the derm body that people are talking to, whether that's through the American Academy of Dermatology or through Gloderm. And I'm a big place that we really have a role and that we have to keep showing up is in the World Health Organization. So I thought maybe I'll share a little bit about the journey with the WHO, because it's very closely aligned with this topic and with Gloderm as well. So we've been working at the WHO now for, you know, probably the better part of 15 years. The International League of Derm Societies is the only derm organization in the world that's in official relations with the WHO. That kind of sounds like we're dating. And so it's a very funny term. Everyone's like, what does that mean, official relations? What it means is that it's actually an official status with the WHO. And it means that we have a work plan with the WHO and that we actually serve across more than 7 different departments at the WHO. And we provide kind of derm expertise and public policy expertise at the level of the WHO. So we're actually at the WHO every year, and we have a work plan that we do with them every single year. And so examples of the departments that we work across as a dermatologic field at the WHO, we work in neglected tropical diseases, we work in UV and radiation, we work in occupational health, now we work in antimicrobial resistance, and then the personal one that I spend a lot of time with is health emergencies, which is outbreaks. So it's great to know that as a dermatology field, we have our foot in the door at the WHO across a variety of things. And that's really an ILDS role, is that being in official relations with the WHO. But we're really excited about, sorry, that was a long-winded preamble, the super exciting big news, is that one thing we've been working on for years is having a World Health Assembly resolution. And I can't underscore the value of this. So a World Health Assembly resolution, the World Health Assembly is kind of the governing body of the WHO. It's when all the countries get together and they basically say, this is the plan for what the WHO is supposed to be working on and supposed to be doing. And they have resolutions which kind of guide the work of the WHO. And once you pass a resolution, it kind of sticks around. It's there. It's not just there for 1 year. It's there for many, many years. So we've been working as a community to pass something called skin disease as a global public health priority. And this resolution has actually just passed in May of 2025. We are so thrilled. Yeah, this is like such huge news. And I will tell you, because we actually failed several times. So this is not a given that they were going to go through. And the way the resolutions work is they're put forward by countries. So we as an international society don't put the resolution forward. This was actually sponsored by many different countries, including Nigeria, Togo, the Federated States of Micronesia, China, Ethiopia, putting this resolution forward. So the reason this is so exciting is that it kind of gives us almost like a visa to now go to different ministries of health around the world and say, listen, you signed on to this. This was unanimously passed at the World Health Assembly. You signed on saying skin disease is a global public health priority. This isn't just about something purely cosmetic. This is actually impacts outbreaks. This impacts systemic disease. And now you actually need to kind of put money and energy towards including skin disease in your Ministry of Health plans. So super exciting progress that we've been working on for many years. So we're really thrilled.
Incredible. I mean, I can't congratulate you guys enough. I think so much of the time when we have ideas and thoughts, but really in order to make impact and advocacy on the levels that we need, we have to integrate, right, with these like international kind of groups that already exist. And we have to be part of that landscape, I think, to really introduce effective change. So thank you guys for being part of such an important, resolution for all of us who practice everywhere. You guys do so much amazing work with GloDerm, and a lot of your work kind of impacts in areas that we're really passionate about at SOX. So things like mentorship and advocacy and education. So I'd love to kind of take a deeper dive into some of those programs and hear a little bit about your mentorship program. So you guys have built this incredible international mentorship program. Tell us what that looks like in practice, how that's grown and changed over time.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about our mentorship program. It's really probably our flagship program that we've done and sort of started at the beginning with generous funding from CeraVe, so to help support that. And we basically have mentees from around the world who've applied in a rigorous application where we oftentimes have more applications than we have spots, who are then paired with mentors from across the world. And it's not a mentorship program to develop a specific skill in dermatology. So it's not one to be like, I'm going to learn how to be a dermatologic surgeon or dermatopathologist, but it really is to look at those leadership skills that are essential in advocating for the patients to increase access to care, community programs within someone's individual country. So we're really looking for mentees who are already really active in the space and are looking for additional leadership skills to sort of think about how do we advocate now with the ministries of health to get the access to the care that we need? How do we form partnerships with our local communities to help expand that network? What creative solutions can we come up with to treat patients or persons with albinism in those local communities. And as part of this mentorship program, we started with 7 mentors and mentees in the first year and have grown to about 12 or to have 12 each year. And we just have reviewed the applications for our fourth cohort, which is really exciting. And these mentors and mentees basically interact on a monthly basis in an individual pair. And then we have a group session once a month to talk about some of those leadership skills, doing a little bit about your own personality. How do you deal with conflict resolution? How do you interface with industry? How do you do a project pitch? So you have a great idea and you have, you know, 5 minutes to talk to someone from Ministry of Health. How do you put your best idea forward? And really the goal is to further elevate these already change makers in their space, to help give them the footing and sort of the support to propel them to go forward and really have that positive domino effect within their own community.
And it's been so fun to see the impact of the program. So to give you kind of a couple of concrete examples, sometimes it's almost easier to understand when you think through the individuals. We'll give you a couple examples from different cohorts. So in cohort number 1 was our first class of 7, Dr. Dorian Subushimike, who's the 6th ever dermatologist in Burundi, who returned to Burundi and with leadership training that we provided has gone on to start the first ever albinism outreach program in Burundi for the thousands of people living in Burundi with albinism, where previously they were actually being given Vaseline as their sunscreen. So massive, massive issues. And then if you look, for example, actually another classmate of Dorian's, Dr. Jose Oyage, has gone back to Ecuador, where he's now the president of the Ecuadorian Derm Society and has started the first dermatology residency program in his particular area of Ecuador. So a lot of like, how do you start a residency program? How do you really lead in your area? And then if you look in the Caribbean, Dr. Katora Edwins, who's was that in our second cohort. So she, for example, is the only public dermatologist in the island of St. Lucia. And so she went on to create the leprosy elimination program in St. Lucia, working directly with the Ministry of Health. So these are kind of the type of projects people are working on. We often get questions of, is this for med students? It's really not. This is for people who are either recently finished dermatology residency or about to finish dermatology residency. And they're really from resource limited countries. We do potentially accept people who are in a very resource constrained country in a higher resource nation. So for example, if you were an Aboriginal dermatologist in Australia working in the Aboriginal community, that might be appropriate. But that's kind of the level of individuals we take. And it's been so great to see their impact. It just with the first class of, we've now trained mentees and mentors across 29 different countries, low-resource countries. And just looking at the first cohort, you know, they treated on average around 10,000 patients a year, and they were able to train several thousand additional healthcare workers with the training that we give them. We kind of ask specifically, what did you do because of this training, as opposed to what did you do in general? So it's been so fun. We talk a lot about the ripple effect, which is that you kind of train one person. If you get that right change maker and that right person, it can just kind of create this massive wave. So it's been really exciting.
You actually literally took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say it's like a ripple effect because it's so amazing. I mean, you give one person resources and support, and the impact is way beyond that one person. I mean, it's a continued effect of all the people they reach and then people they can help. And so it's profound. It's probably hard to even quantify how many people ultimately benefit from a program like this. So congratulations to you guys. It's amazing. Moving into the education space, I'd love to hear some of the work you guys have done there about how are you working in global dermatology education and getting the information out to people who even aren't part of this mentorship program.
Yeah, we have a very, although the mentorship program is our flagship program, we also have other activities that we participate in. So we have our training committee, which is really composed of those medical students or residents in training and was actually born from some other individuals. And we sort of then have merged those as part of our organization. And we have a monthly webinar series that we do where we pair a mentee with a mentor, with one of the mentors or an expert in the area. So for example, Jean Bologna may be presenting with a mentee or medical student from another area. That provides a nice opportunity for them to sort of collaborate and have a mini mentorship relationship as part of that, as well as provide educational content that is then housed on our YouTube channel and readily available for people across the world. And so that's really been really instrumental in providing education to individuals from that way. We also have a podcast series for that group. And that podcast series talks a little bit about more of the softer aspects of medicine, you know, talking about the art and how that interacts with dermatology, thinking about telemedicine and how that can impact, having some people who are outside of dermatology who can comment on the impact that dermatology may have and skin health may have in their own communities and own life. And so I think that's really impactful as well. And then in addition, we try to have a scientific meeting that's associated with some of the larger academic conferences. So before the American Academy of Dermatology or the EADV, or as part of the ICD or WCD, we'll have our pre-scientific committee meeting. And those meetings can have basically some other change makers from around the world to talk about their how they're evolving residency programs in their own institutions or communities. We have our mentees and mentors who present on the projects that they're doing and try to sort of help inspire and see some of the networks that sort of develop even within that as part of that. And really excitingly, as a result of one of these hybrid meetings, we found that there were numerous individuals from across the world who are starting emerging residency programs. And so we had basically our emerging residency program network, which now we call SEED, which is the Supporting Emerging Education in Dermatology. And that's a network of individuals from this pre-scientific meeting that have recognized that they're having the same struggles. And so we are having a struggle trying to find how do people get training in dermatologic surgery, or how do you sort of advocate for funding within the program, or how do you teach dermatopathology where you have no dermatopathologist? And really having this network where they can share ideas and exchanges started as this one little group chat on a Zoom to now all of a sudden an entire network, which has just been really exciting to see. Similar, that ripple effect started with one little idea and see how that really expands.
And it's so fun to see these emerging residency programs. Just give you a couple of concrete examples. So, for example, there is a new residency program in Rwanda. So the first time they're ever training Rwandan dermatologists homegrown in Rwanda. There is a new dermatology residency training program in Fiji at the Pacific Dermatology Training Center that's training the first ever dermatologists within the Pacific Island nations without having them to send them somewhere else. There's new training in Ecuador, new programs in Ethiopia. These are just examples. And so it's so fun. You know, we just had a call this past week with our SEED network and seeing all of them talk about some of the same issues around, you know, derm path slides. How do you do derm path training? How do we do this? I think we're with individuals that probably would have never otherwise known each other and are having a lot of the same issues worldwide. So it's been really fun to see that network grow.
Incredible. And, you know, one of the things that we're so excited about at the Skin of Color Society is expanding our global reach. Our society was always meant to serve, you know, everyone across the world. And we know that, you know, much of the world is a skin of color population. And so we want to make sure we're all equipped to serve them. And so we have all spoken about, you know, where there's really synergy with the work that you guys are doing and some of the work we're trying to do. So I'd love to talk a little bit about some of our collaboration that we're looking to do in the coming years and hear your thoughts on sort of what the partnership is going to look like. And I'm happy to share some of my thoughts as well.
Well, we were so excited to have you. I mean, one, we just adore you as a person and all the things that you're doing, but to have you reach out and talk about how could we collaborate? And we think there's just so many natural similarities between the organizations and synergies, you know, between how we can really develop. And so one of the ideas we had is thinking about how we can co-host webinars, right? And so we can sort of highlight some of these topics that affect skin of color patients from across the world. And really, can we combine forces and get speakers from Skin of Color Society to collaborate with some of our Gloderm members and really create that educational content to distribute that across the world as part of our webinar series. So we're really, really excited to take part of that.
I think, too, thinking about our membership in Gloderm is honestly primarily probably global South. Like most of our members are from resource limited countries or resource constrained settings and primarily from the global South. And I know historically SOX has been like a little bit more North America based historically. And so I think it's really great that as an organization, you guys were really thinking about how to lean in, because obviously skin of color issues relate to, you know, the majority of the world population, many of whom are not in North America. So I think it's a really great opportunity to collaborate with a lot of these global leaders that are, you know, 100% of their population is skin of color. You know, when we're in Rwanda, all of our patients are Rwandan. I think it's such a great synergy to think about how the intersection of kind of global health and skin of color, because they truly are like deeply, deeply intertwined and probably more than 85% overlapped with a lot of our issues. So it's really exciting to be in this space together.
Absolutely. And, you know, this year, one of the other things that I'm really passionate about is service. And we're going to launch this platform, Sock Serves. And there's two arms to that. One is Sock Serving, the pathway to increase, you know, our workforce that's in dermatology and diversification there. But the other part is to educate our communities. And our communities, as you said, Dr. Freeman, are, you know, right outside our doorstep, but also, you know, across the world. And so I think that we're really excited there to think about how Sock Serves a community can collaborate with Glowderm to make sure that we are thinking about the needs of our communities everywhere, because those needs are different, as you all have highlighted today. And so we're really excited to do that and also build out our global council, which we'll hopefully be launching this year virtually. And eventually we'll hopefully meet in person, we're hoping, at the World Congress meeting. So we are thrilled and excited about all to come there. As we wrap up, I would love to sort of just hear your thoughts on how you feel the global dermatology community has evolved in recent years. Do you feel like there's more support and awareness for global initiatives? You know, where's the landscape currently?
Well, I think...
Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
No, I was going to say, first, I want to say congratulations to you, because I think your commitment to all the projects that you're doing, I feel like, is just really amazing. And I think huge kudos to the Skin of Color Society, which I think also started small and has just really grown and blossomed and stuff. So I think just want to say congratulations to that. Really fantastic work and makes us really, really excited. And then I also think when I look back on, you know, global health and global dermatology, I think, as Esther was talking about before, you know, we initially met, there was a very small group of us, you know, in a restaurant that were like excited about it. And now when we go to our meetings, the number of people who want to come and participate and the number of people who don't really think of it as a one-off of things that they may do or not, but really wanted to be part of their career is really amazing. As we're interviewing medical students or residents and thinking about that, like, it really is on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And I think that globalness, not just sort of thinking about international, but really within our local communities as well. Like, how can we help work with our local communities? How can we do that community outreach aspect? I think really has blossomed over the years, which I think is really exciting and inspiring to me as I think about our future and how bright it is, because people, it's not a one-off or like, maybe I'll do it if I have time. It's really part of what they really want to do. And as they proceed going forward.
The one word I would use to sum it up exactly, Carrie, you nailed it on the head, is momentum. You know, I think we started small and we've really, the whole field of global health dermatology to me feels like it has so much momentum. It went from being, you know, I first negotiated with my chair saying I wanted to direct global health dermatology. You know, I kind of got like the pat on the back, like, oh, that's cute. We're not quite sure what you mean. You know, and now people recognize it as a field. We have, you know, a thriving international organization across more than 60 different countries in the world. I think there's just so much momentum, and then capitalizing now on this World Health Assembly resolution of skin disease as a global public health priority, you feel the community, you feel the energy. And I think both Kira and I feel like one of our goals is to train ourselves out of a job. What I love now is when you show up at these Glowder meetings, I'm like, you guys don't really need us anymore. You know, like our next generation is flying, like watching our mentees, we purposely are having them take over parts of Glowderm and they are just like flying. So I'm like, this is great. I can, you know, sit back and let you guys run. Like it's really amazing just to see the momentum that's been built and the collaborations that have been formed and really watching the next generation just take over and kind of take it as a given that this field exists. And this is an important part of dermatology. Thinking about how we incorporate working under resource settings is truly parts of our career and not as something that you do on your vacation or a random weekend. And that is now almost like a given, as opposed to before it was something really outside the mainstream. So it's been really exciting to see that momentum grow and with it, that ripple effect.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think one final note for our listeners, if someone wants to get more involved in this space, the work that you're doing at Glowderm, Global Health Dermatology, where can they start? What's just your advice to them about, you know, any next step that they could do?
I'm going to say completely biased, join Glowderm. Okay, so you can get access to our newsletters. In our newsletters, we really try to provide not just things that we're doing as an organization, but things that we hear about from the global health dermatology field. So I feel like that's really great. I would say show up to our meetings, because then you can sort of meet other individuals and like-minded and get ideas and form those networks and connections. And then also join to become a member so that we can get you involved in some of the organizations and committees. And some of them are, you know, lighter lifts, where maybe is that you come to the webinars and host a webinar or join us in the scientific meetings and just be an active participant. To those, if you really want to be more involved, there's a lot of ideas and things that we have ideas on expanding Glowderm that I think we can have you as part of that. So I would say do that. And then if you're like, I'm not sure if you want to do it, reach out to someone who's doing the work. And I think all of us who are in that space are excited and enthusiastic. And anytime someone reaches out, it's like, absolutely, let's get you involved. Let's hear what your ideas are and help you out however we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more the merrier, right? We need so many people in this space. There's so much to be done. This has been an incredible conversation. I want to thank both of you, not just for your time today, but just for being truly leaders and change makers. And you have created an amazing legacy already. I mean, to your point, Dr. Freeman, people will not really, they'll take it for granted one day and not know where, you know, that this had to be created and started. And it hasn't just always been there. And there's been such a need. So I want to thank you guys for the work that you've done and that you continue to do, and for the collaboration that I'm so excited that we're going to have. So thank you for being on the show today. I want to thank everybody for listening to this engaging and insightful conversation as we wrap up here on the Skin of Color Savvy. We hope everyone found today's discussion informative and inspiring. And if you're interested in learning more about the Skin of Color Society and its impactful work, I encourage you to visit our website at skinofcolorsociety.org. Also, don't forget to subscribe to HCP Live's newsletters and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest in dermatology and more. We will be back with another episode soon, so be sure to subscribe to Skin of Color Savvy on your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, thank you all and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.